20 years, it's really because of the bankruptcy of our state and the economic situation. Nevertheless, we're celebrating every release, every clemency we get, and this governor has not granted any clemencies before, and we've gotten 4 clemencies now, and the law school that I work with at the university also, they've gotten 2. We work together on some, so for women. So, and this governor leaves office at the end of the year, so we're working hard to get as many women out as we can before the end of the year. Yes. The guards. Yes,
okay.
Thanks for asking. Yes, that footage is shot by guards, and that woman was chained down over and over and over over a period of 4.5 years that she was in prison. She was in prison for malicious destruction of property over $100 because she got in a fight with her brother who broke her thumb, and she went out and broke his windshield of his car, and he called the police on her and had her arrested, and she went to prison for 4.5 years, and she has a mental disorder, so she was, you know, she was protesting and so on, and giving them a hard time, and so they put her in the segregation unit, and then in the unit within the segregation unit where they chained them down over and over. And she got out of prison in 1999, and she sued the state for torture, and she won a settlement. And then she narrated this film. She narrated another film for me, with me, that I made just based on that footage, but there was over 6 hours of it.
How could you get hold of this footage?
She got it because she filed a lawsuit, and her lawyer got it. Mm-hmm. And I work with a number of mentally ill women in prison who are chained down or depressed, and they get chained down because for their own protection. And in my other film, you hear the guard saying, "This, we're not doing this to punish you. We're doing this, you know, to protect yourself." Because you're suicidal, you try to hang yourself. Well, of course, therapy might be an answer, but that's what they do, chain them down. And the guards then shoot this footage ostensibly to protect the state.
I find that quite strange, because you say that that might be,
yes.
Embarrassed by it,
would
you see
what happened? I know, it makes no sense, does it? It seems like it indicts the state, but, and in fact, the state did settle with her and gave her a settlement when she brought the lawsuit. So with a subpoena, she could get that footage, but I have tried and tried to get footage with other women since and haven't been able to get any, though I know many women who've been chained down like that again. And there probably are women right now.
Mm-hmm. And the speakers, the narrators' voices, the different women voices?
Yes.
Were the voices spoken by different narrators or the women themselves?
Different women themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, not the one of the woman in that footage is speaking too, but she's just one of the narrators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're all women who just got out of prison,
mm-hmm,
for different crimes.
Mm-hmm. When you say are you working with an organization?
Well, I do serve as director of this Clemency Project, which was founded by a prisoner. And she's out, and we work together. I serve as director, and she works with me on it, and so do women inside, and students, and attorneys, and we have other volunteers, citizens, who work with us too. But so I directed, and I write a lot of clemency petitions and parole packages and so on, but with the help of others, yeah.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask about the, you were speaking about the economic downturn in Michigan, and I wondered if you have had to work with any privatized prisons because of that. So I know that there has been sort of a push towards the selling of public goods.
Yeah.
But also, I wondered, in addition, especially for that first clip, there were so many women saying, you know, if I could only have gotten the right type of help, if someone had showed me where to go or something. Mm-hmm. I wondered if there have, if you've been able to sort of, I don't know how you would measure the success of sort of preventative measures, but I wondered if you could speak at all about your work in relationship to that, but then also in terms of an art practice as well, I guess, because I think that footage like this and films like this can so easily be sort of brought into the art world as sort of an output of something. But some other work, like with, I'm sure that you've done many of things in terms of preventative work and your work with students, that is so much more difficult because it's about, well, maybe not more difficult, but of course it's about the process, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Rather than any sort of documentation of something. So I just wondered if you could maybe, and if you had any sort of words about these things.
Wait, let's see,
yeah.
Start back.
So starting back, because also I can tell you, I'm from Detroit.
Oh, you are? Great! Oh, good! Okay.
I know that there has been sort of lots of issues with the privatization of public goods because of
the money. Yes, there's certainly privatization of the vendors and the suppliers to the prison, and the women work for, and prisoners work for maybe 37 cents to $1.30 a day, so it's slave wages, you know, really. And but the prisons are not privatized yet in Michigan, though they are in some places. And luckily there has been some scandal about some of them, because that's a terrible idea. And hopefully that's not going to happen, but it could. It could. It does. There is a lot of talk about privatizing prisons. And so prisons for profit sounds, I mean, that could be even more of a nightmare to human beings. Let's see, what else?
And the other part was just more so about how do you sort of document a process, or is there a need to in any way, especially when it comes to preventative measures versus the sort of horrors that we can watch in the actual prison, but some of the women whose, your work I'm sure has touched many women who have not gone to prison, I would think maybe to some capacity. I just wondered if there's a way of measuring or documenting or somehow archiving that process as well, or if you feel that there's a need to.
You mean women in shelters or women who are...
Yeah, or sort of, or women who sort of find themselves in situations where they may want to kill someone and end up not because of perhaps some of the resources that you and your team are able to provide. Or even students, I'm sure, who are really quite impacted by seeing these sorts of things and then go out and do other sorts of work themselves because of it. I just wondered if there's ways of sort of documenting those success. Well, I don't know if successfully sounds so overridden. Yeah, but if there's if it's necessary to show that process as well, or is it something more? Is it better to show this sort of horrors that you've sort of shown us today?
I myself, when I went into the prison, saw myself in many of the women and their stories, and I think any of us might. I had been married and divorced at 17 with a batterer, and then also broke the law to get out alive, and some would call it murder. I had an illegal abortion and almost died, but I didn't, luckily, and I didn't get prosecuted. And when I went into the prison and sat down with women, I was asked to come in and make a film with the women, because I had been making a couple of films with street workers, prostitutes in Detroit. And from there, someone asked me to go into the prison, and I had to, you know, get all kinds of clearance from the state and so on to get in. And then I just was struck by these women serving life and got hooked, and I've just kind of been there ever since. And it wasn't until that time that I was willing to identify as a woman who had been through a battering experience. You know, nobody wants to think of themselves as victim. And we really avoid that identification as a victim. And I didn't want to accept that identity. And yet when I went into the prison and it sort of connected with where I'd been, you know, in trials here and trials with street women, I thought, you know, these women are serving life the rest of their lives for acting in their own defense. And I too committed a crime at the time to save my own life. And this isn't right. I can't cope with this. I have to make these stories visible. I have to really show whatever audiences I can what I feel about their stories and bring them face to face. Most of my films are really a lot of face to face, so that you feel with the women there, and you feel sort of angry as I do about the injustice issues, and so that's where my focus has been, I haven't really been so interested, although I work some with women who are in jail on their way to prison. But but certainly that is important, and it is in fact the battered women's movement, I think, here in Europe and in the US that has made a difference. I mean, the number of women who kill their partners has gone way down over the years. Because of the battered women's movement. The number of women murdered by their husbands or boyfriends has not gone down over the last 30, 40 years. So women are still living with lethal violence, so many women in the home. Thanks for those questions. And you're from Detroit.
Yes,
right. Okay. Well, I'm circling back and looking at prostitution again in Detroit, street workers again, 20 years later. And it's a little different scene. It's very interesting because they were on a real assembly line when I was there, you know, sitting in court day after day, week after week, month after month, in the late 80s. And now there's a special court in Detroit, and Judge Leonia Lloyd, a black woman judge, is fabulous. And she talks to these women. Now, I'm not happy that they do go to jail. They go to jail, and that's not a solution either, but she's trying to really work with them and get them into programs and get them on their feet. And she's an amazing judge. It's vastly different. And hopefully they keep funding that prostitute court. It's an interesting phenomenon. For when you go back to Detroit, you should check it out. Her courtroom. Yeah.
Do you find that there's any sort of where a lot of your human rights campaign work in that kind of context of being part of the art world as well? Do you find there's any tension between trying to do both, or does it sit quite
There's tensions all over the place. Yeah, there's tensions with other feminist lawyers who don't like what I'm doing because I'm not a lawyer. There's tensions in the art world because my work is sometimes seen as social work or political something, or, you know, or do-gooder or something, not art. But I heard that in graduate school. Oh, Carol, art and politics don't mix. That was the mantra in the 70s that I got. I don't know about you, but I did.
I think it's been better now.
Yeah, it's better now. It is better now. And there are a lot of artists doing socially engaged work, and so it is better. But there's still pressure against it, and in academia there is too. And academia is by nature, I guess, conservative, at least in the US. Art schools are pretty conservative. And so there are tensions. But I feel, you know, I don't know, I guess I have a will to push ahead and do what I want to do and need to do. And I've been fortunate because I did get an academic job, but only thanks to a feminist who got me in. Otherwise, I never would have gotten hired, I don't think, because it took me a long time to get a university permanent job. And it's Joanne. Joanne fought for me, and I got hired. And we've fought for other feminists since then to get hired. So we're trying to change our system bit by bit.
I have a question. I mean, it's not only the tension that comes from the outside, it's not only criticizing the other side in a way, but maybe also the tension that you can feel as an artist or activist for both yourself, that, or I can imagine that it's maybe sometimes difficult when you. I mean, how do you, are these the kind of films that you show in a community gallery or in an exhibition, whatever kind of exhibition?
I'll show.
I can imagine that it's sometimes difficult. How do you feel towards the people that you're working with when suddenly you put them into this art world as an example or as an image for something?
And they know, they all know what I do, and they know, and they sign releases, and I pay them all. And that's part of the process. It's, you know, it's they're experts on this system, and they are speaking as experts on the system and their experience. But yes, I do put them in a commercial gallery. This piece, this last piece, will go in the gallery, be projected in a room. My next show in New York. But it happens that that gallery, as I said, it will also be co-sponsored by Amnesty International. So they bring in another wider audience. And I just think that people need to know what goes on inside our prisons. I think years from now, people will look back and be horrified at the way we treated human beings in our prisons today. Just like we're horrified at the, you know, drawing and quartering of and the kind of corporal punishments that we did in medieval times to human beings. I mean, we think that, how could human beings have done those kinds of things? Well, I think people will look back now and when they see the kinds of documentation that some people have put together, they will be horrified too. And I am trying to end it. I mean, I am trying to challenge it. And I do send these films to judges and lawyers and prosecutors and policymakers and the governor and so on, and other educators all over. They're distributed free.
Maybe describe what an installation looks like, though, in gallery and the work that's on the wall as well in the text.
Well, this piece will be projected on, you know, large on a wall in a darkish small video room, and then I usually have some text on the wall, and it may be about the particular women, or it may be about the time. With this piece, I was experimenting with different texts, and so I think it'll talk about the kind of horrors that go on in the prison, listing some of them. Rape, assault by guards, harassment, retaliation, and so on. So it's kind of like a darkened cell in a way, where it's projected. And then I do photographic works too, sometimes from stills, that are more sort of contemplative works.
And do you obtain a permission of the woman to be part of the... Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And yeah. do they also come to the exhibitions?
Well, sometimes. Some, yes.
And is that, you think, uplifting for them? Or how?
I think some feel really good about participating in it. And yet I have had complaints later sometimes. You know, I know that Jamie Whitcomb, who made the segregation unit film with me, later called me up and said, "I don't want that film shown anymore. Don't do that." And I said, "Well, let's talk about this and think about this." And so we talked about it. And she was really mad at me. And then I hung up. And then I talked to some of the other women about it. And then some of the other women talked to her. And then she seemed okay, they said. And then I was at the Capitol in a protest against torture, and there she was, and we hugged, and she said, "I'm so glad we're still doing this." And so, but you never know, there are those risks, and in some cases the only recourse power that some of these women have is to file a lawsuit. And I always worry, I always think I could be sued. Errol Morris was sued by the man that he made the film about in The Thin Blue Line, if you know that film. He made a film about, and that film got that man out of prison. And then the man turned around and sued him for profits that Errol Morris made on the film. Well, none of my films are profit-making. They're all non-profit. I give them away. So there's that also, and the women know that. They know that it's a feminist process or project, and that it's about education and activism. And so they understand they're participating in that, and that nothing gets sold.
Okay, maybe we could stop here.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you to both Carol and Richard for absolutely fascinating evening. We will get an opportunity to actually show this again, I hope, in the library.
Yes, thank you. I'll be leaving some things with you with the Women's Library. You've been a resource for me in the past, and I'm happy to have.
Please, if you haven't had an opportunity to see the exhibition, do try and see it.